So I typed a text to a girl.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown.
Back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Time to talk some NBA and some NBA playoffs with my guy Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA on X. He's a contributor to Spot Track, and of course, he does the front office show with our good friend Trevor Lane. Keith, how's it going?
Everything's going great. It's a great time of year. You know, we got the conference finals going, NBA finals soon, and we're prepping for what I think is going to be a pretty crazy offseason.
Yeah, and then we're going to head into the NBA draft. I hate to start here because I'm going to get to the Celtics in a second, but have you seen the news out there about Bronny James and the hook, the amount of bets he's getting for number one overall at FanDuel and BetMGM? He is the leading bet getter to be number one overall at both of those places. And like, what kind of society do we live in, Keith? Like, what are people doing?
You can find me on Keith Smith NBA if you really want to just throw money away. I am more than happy to take it.
Yeah, right.
Contact me through there, and I will we'll arrange a way for you to get it to me, because that's just a waste of money. He's not going to go number one overall. It's not a world where he would go number one overall. Like, I really don't understand what the thought process is here.
Well, just drop the Cash App, drop the Venmo in there, so that people can give you the $10 that they're throwing on that plus $20,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And I try to tell people, right. you bet $10 at plus $20,000. You know what you stand to win? You lose $10 because you're not going to win that damn
yeah,
bet.
Exactly.
It's so dumb.
Yep.
It's so unbelievably stupid. Now the Celtics, your Celtics take a 2-0 series lead. It felt like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you have differing opinions here. It felt like they saved their game two performances for game one, but they snuck out a win, and then game two, that was pure domination.
Yeah, you know, there was a point where the Pacers made a run at the end of the first half. Boston didn't close the first half very well. And I know a lot of people are going to go, well, Tyrese Haliburton was hurt in the second half, but Boston took control before he even went out of the game. And when they had the full control, it never really got back to a point where it's close. It was never a complete blowout. It wasn't a 30-point runaway or anything like that, but it was never really close either. And I think you saw the Celtics kind of hit a point where it's like, all right, we're going to do enough to make sure this lead stays between 10, 12, 15 points, and we're going to keep it up that high, but we're not going to push to really run these guys off the floor, because Rick Carlisle waved the white flag minutes into the fourth quarter, seemingly saying, yeah, that's it. But I think he also knew, coaches generally know, my team doesn't have it. Now, he knows, I would expect in game three, they're going to throw everything they can at winning game three. Because if you fall down 3-0, the series is over. No one's ever come back. This Pacers team's not going to be the first ones. So I think Rick Carlisle knows, look, I'm going to ask Siakam and Turner and Nembhard and probably McConnell to play 40, 45, maybe even the entire game, trying to get that win. They're going to empty the tank, because that's it. That's the season. As much as it doesn't end if they lose, it's functionally over.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. Tyrese Haliburton, I am curious if he's going to be able to give it a go and how hobbled he's going to be. He has a hamstring injury, and we know that in January he missed 10 games because of a hamstring injury, and that he hasn't been able to really recover the same way. He's been way more inconsistent with that back injury and that hamstring injury. So if he's not able to go, this series is completely done.
Yeah, it's as we put it today, Trevor and I did on our show, this series is probably already over.
Sure.
But if he can't play, it's over, right? Like, it is really done. The only way the Pacers are going to beat the Celtics is to turn it into a run-and-shoot, score a whole bunch of points game. And the only way they can do that at a high enough level to be competitive in the series is with Tyrese Haliburton, and that's a fully functioning Tyrese Haliburton, not a limited one, and obviously not one that's out. So they're in a lot of trouble.
Now, what do you think about the discourse around Jason Tatum? Because I think in game one, that was the most underappreciated, quite frankly, complained about 36, 12, 4, and 3 steal line that I have ever seen in my life. And he was a plus 20, too. He clearly affected winning in game one.
Yeah, Gabe, all I heard was, you know, the Celtics didn't really win game one. And I look at it and say, last I checked, they were up 1-0 in the series. I guess, and the NBA and everywhere has it wrong that the Pacers won that game. I get it. The Pacers blew it, but the Celtics also took it from them. And the criticism of Jason Tatum started with. Well, the stats were what they were, but he didn't have a very good fourth quarter, which then completely skipped. He had 10 points and outscored the Pacers all by himself in the overtime period. So he is not above criticism. Don't get me wrong. There's been moments where I don't think he has been very good this year. But for the most part, I do not understand where he is the only star in this league who, if he has a bad game, it is like people go through, he does this all the time. He's not clutch. He can't perform in the clutch. Well, again, 10 points in an overtime period, outscored the other team all by himself and won. So I just really don't get where all of this comes from.
And we've talked about this in the past, Keith. The one complaint or the one bit of criticism that I always come back to with Jason Tatum is he needs to attack more. He needs to be more and when you see him attack and get to the rim and press defenders, be physical, he can have those 40-point games, and he can be super efficient. But it feels like he allows himself to be guarded sometimes. He'll take a bunch of threes, and he'll take a bunch of fall-away jumpers. And that's the only thing I always come back to, is it feels like he allows himself to be guarded when he is really an unguardable player.
Yeah, there's definitely some truth in that. I think part of it is, he's built a lot more like Kevin Durant than he is like LeBron James. So when he goes in and he gets wiped out, like, he feels it a lot more. Like, he's rarely the one delivering the punishing hit. He's just kind of taking them all. So I think that becomes like a challenge for him is, He gets beat up a little bit. That becomes, then he's got to kind of, work through it. So I think that's the one part. I'm with you. There's times when it's like, look, no one can guard you off the dribble. You're too big. Like, just get down inside and get to the basket. And you actually see when he does that. Like last night in the third quarter, he got a dunk, and then he got a couple jump shots, and then all of a sudden he was rolling, and he ended up putting together a pretty strong night. It just sometimes when he comes out and it's just, I'm going to take a bunch of jumpers early, he doesn't really get fully into the rhythm. So it's a valid concern. I just, overall I look at it and say, this guy's like averaging, nearly 30 points, 10 rebounds, like 6 assists per game. I'm not sure how much more people really want him to do.
I agree wholeheartedly. Now, Luke Kornet injury, I know some people are just going to wave that to the side, but the Celtics do not have depth at the five with KP out right now. It's Al Horford, and then they brought in O'Shea Brissett to sort of fill some of those minutes last night. Let me ask you this. One of our old friends here in Memphis, Xavier Tillman, was added at the trade deadline. What's the reason that they don't seem to be using him with those minutes? Is it just a size thing?
I don't think that's what's going on right now. I don't know if it made the news there, but unfortunately his father passed away a couple of days ago. So he that's why he missed game one of the series, was his dad passed away. I'm not sure how fully ready he was to play in game two. I think Joe Mazzulla put him out there with a few minutes left, kind of the idea of, hey, let's give him some sense of normalcy of just go play a basketball game, run up and down, and hit some guys and maybe start feeling a little more like yourself with this. But when he came over, it's funny, a lot of people are like, well, we traded for him, so he must be awesome. And I try to tell people, sometimes you make a trade just to have another guy, just to have a little bit more depth. And they've used Luke Kornet all year because they have either Kristaps Porzingis has missed games or Al Horford, that he doesn't play back-to-back. So they pretty aggressively load manage Al Horford. So I think what ultimately happens in these cases is the Celtics have gone to Kornet, and he's been fine. I don't know. It seems like there's this expectation from some Celtics fans that Luke Kornet should be dominant. And it's like, he's a third center. Like, he fills his role fine. I do think once Xavier Tillman, if he's fully reintegrated and back up to speed here, I do think there's a world where we will see him more, because they do need a little bit more size than what O'Shea Brissett comes to. I know Tillman's not super tall, but he's very rugged, as you guys know quite well. He's happy to go in there and mix it up and bang bodies and do all that. So I think we're in a spot where we'll see him get back in the mix. And then they advance to the NBA Finals with the amount of bigs that Minnesota and Dallas play. There's a world where Xavier Tillman's out there for no other reason. Hey, he's got 6 fouls. Let's use them strategically.
Yep. Now, moving to the Western Conference, Mavs got over top in game one against the Timberwolves. And I know that the line is a lot closer than the Eastern Conference Finals when you look at the betting odds. But I think a lot of people thought that the Timberwolves' physicality was going to show through. But 62-38, the Mavs won the point in the paint battle. And Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively keep showing up in a big way, even against a really, really tough matchup with Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. Were you surprised by the outcome of Game 1?
Not the outcome, but it was more the way it happened is what surprised me. Full disclosure, I picked Wolves in 7, and when anybody had asked me, you know, why Wolves in 7, I said, really? That's my cop-out. I don't know who's going to win. So I'm right. Picking the higher seed to win in 7 at home because I think it's that close of a series. I feel really like either team can take this. So it wasn't surprising me that the Mavs won. But like you said, scoring 60-plus points in the paint, and they had most of those 60, I think, through three quarters. So when you get there against that Minnesota team, that tells you they were really able to get into their stuff and do what they wanted to do. And Minnesota didn't do what they needed to do defensively in a lot of ways. So I think we're in a spot where we're really going to see Minnesota have to come out and play much, much better. Or they're going to be in a spot where down 0-2 going on the road, that's a tough place to be at.
Yeah, 100%. I will give credit where credit's due to Derek Lively the second. I don't know the last time I saw like a bench big that's a rookie like him make this type of impact. He was a plus 19, I think team high in that game, 9 and 11, and three assists as well. He can pass out of the post. And then I think that last game when they closed out OKC, 12 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 assists. That guy can play. He is going to be a force going forward in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. For however long Luka and him are there, that's his running mate now up front. Now, I know he's not starting, but that was because they went through a rough patch fairly coming out of the All-Star break where they lost a bunch of games in a row, did not play well, and one of the changes they made was let's put Daniel Gafford in for Derek Lively, and then they played really well. And we all know with coaches, if it's working, they're not going to change it. They're just going to stick with it, even sometimes if it's like, yeah, but that part's not working great. Maybe you should, but that part has worked pretty good too. Daniel Gafford's generally given them fairly good minutes and pretty good production, and I think that's got to be a huge comfort for Jason Kidd, knowing you've got 48 minutes of center play. And then if somehow Maxi Kleba can work his way back in, now I could throw him in the mix for a handful of minutes and give a different look. Because Lively and Gafford played pretty similarly. They're going to be around the rim on both ends of the floor. They're going to rebound. They're going to catch lobs. They're going to do that stuff. And I think what's very interesting with a guy like Derek Lively is he's only going to get better from here. He's going to figure things out. He's going to learn. You saw a couple times, Minnesota doesn't like to do this, but they were getting so beat up in the pick and roll. They put two on the ball and were forcing Lively into passes, and there were times it just ground the offense to a halt, hit a couple of turnovers. It got a little wonky with that. But those are things he's going to figure out and learn, and when he does, it's going to be so much the better.
Now, the Mavs, I don't know if they're going to win this series ultimately. I mean, the Timberwolves are going to have a say-so in that. But I do want to say, Nico Harrison, their GM, he deserves a lot more credit than I think he's given at this particular moment. And I know I say that, I've said that on my show all the time, and I bet people are getting a little bit annoyed with it. But moving off of the Grant Williams signing this offseason to go get P.J. Washington, to go get Daniel Gafford, to draft Derek Lively, Derek Jones Jr., to facilitate him being in that starting lineup and the development he's shown there, the way they've built this roster after last year down the stretch being a complete disaster, it has been a 180 turnaround, and I think a lot of that goes to Mark Cuban and Nico Harrison for the job they've done in building it.
Yeah, without a doubt. There's a lot of times you make a free agent signing, and if it's not working out, one of the things you hear all the time is, we just have to give it time. We can't quit on it this early in. And that happens in all sports, right? And I think sometimes what it takes a lot of guts to say, you know what, we got to make the change. We cannot continue to run this way. We have to make a change. And he said and figured out with the rest of the team, all right, Grant Williams, good player. P.J. Washington, they're actually fairly similar-ish players the way they play the game in a lot of ways. But I think Nico Harrison really said, all right, it's not working with Grant Williams. Let's make the change. Let's move. Let's get some different guys in here, get some different blood in here. They gave up actually a pretty decent pick to Oklahoma City to be able to get a freed up pick to go get Daniel Gafford. Mm-hmm. But that's worked out well too. So those are two big trades. And then credit to Jason Kidd too for saying, you know what, I'm going to plug P.J. Washington in right away. And then when it was time, I'm going to put Daniel Gafford in and run him with it. Like, so those are things you don't often see out of teams. Sometimes it'll be, well, let's just stick with what's comfortable, even if it's not going great, just because we've already committed to it. We can't move away from it now. And sometimes that, by the time you finally do it, it's too late. Mavs moved early, and it's made all the difference.
Now, I keep trying to preach this to Grizzlies fans as well. I think the final four left in the NBA playoffs does show you're not that far away. You really aren't. If you have your franchise cornerstones, you make some moves around the edges, you could be right there competing for a championship, especially with the parity we're now seeing in the NBA, six straight champions that will be different in the last six turns. Mavericks made all those moves. Timberwolves, we didn't know how the Rudy Gobert thing was going to age, but it's aged pretty well. The Pacers, they ended up going and getting Pascal Siakam. The Celtics this offseason, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis. You were never as far away as you think, unless we're talking about the Washington Wizards or the Detroit Pistons.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there are absolutely teams that are there. They're in the middle of rebuild. Some just getting started. Some have been going on for what feels like forever. But right. With the Grizzlies, I'm in the same boat. They had the season from you know where,
yes,
this year, and the wheels came off for them. They had injuries. They had the John Morant suspension. John Morant comes back. He gets injured. Desmond Bane misses large chunks of the year. I mean, basically, I don't remember what the final count was, but I know it was up in the 30s. When you have that many guys playing a game for you, things did not go well. That didn't happen because you were going so great, like that things were perfect. I mean, there were times when I had people who cover the NBA that were like, dude, I know you're into it because of the transaction stuff. I don't know anything about this guy. Who is this guy that's playing for Memphis tonight? Where did he come from?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you have everything in place there to make a real run. Now, what's interesting is the Grizzlies are at a point where they're more expensive than they've ever been,
yep,
if they kind of keep everything together right now. And that's going to be a test of ownership in the front office to commit to, all right, we believe in this group as structured to go there. And it's going to get a little harder to say, and we really think we need X. We need to go get this player. We need to go get this skill on the roster, because when you are that expensive, it makes it a little difficult to make those things happen. So it is, I think, a good test of, you know, how locked into this group are we. We're going to find that out here in the next, you know, year plus or so. But all the pieces are there. John Morant, Desmond Bane, both healthy. That's one of the best backcourts in the league. Jaren Jackson Jr. is really good. They found out guys like Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson, maybe even Jake LaRavia can kind of play and fill a spot there. Marcus Smart's going to come back, I know, with a vengeance to prove, hey, don't forget about me. I'm still around. I can do some stuff. And I think they're in really great shape moving forward to really make it, get themselves right back into contention in the Western Conference.
Talking with Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. You put out a tweet that I keep referencing. It was this week, but it's about the $7 billion with the new TV media rights deal that the NBA is striking. And you basically sort of said you project 10% growth because that's the max you can go up in the salary cap every year. But you said by 2028-29, we could get a contract that looks like 5 years, $419 million. Now, I think on the surface level, everybody sees that $7 billion deal per year, and they say, well, the NBA wins, Adam Silver wins, the players win too.
Yeah, everybody wins in that. I am very fond of saying, give me a half a watermelon over a whole grape any day. And they got a half of a whole lot of watermelons in that deal. I mean, this shows a couple things. One, the league is in great shape. The fact that you have, I believe the NBA has referenced at this point, I'd have to look it up. I've been tracking it, but I think we're up to 12 different cities have been mentioned by name as potential expansion candidates.
Right.
And that's like by the league who have said like, yeah, these cities have reached out to us. So you've got all these places clamoring to have their own team, to have an expansion team. Now there is a belief in, all right, the next group of young stars, when LeBron ever does call it quits and shuts it down, this group is ready. They're really good. They're really popular. Fans really like these guys. And then lastly, I think the parity that's in the league. This is a sixth straight year, we're going to have a new champion. And I think what we're really kind of looking at is this tells everybody, whether it be small markets, big markets, whoever it is, you do the right thing and run your team well, you're going to have a chance. And all that adds up to people are paying a lot of money for the TV rights. People are going to games. People are buying merchandise. People are consuming the product, all these kind of ways. And that puts it in a spot where there's going to be a lot of stuff. And yeah, you're right. The players are going to get a lot of money. I mean, we are not more than, let's say, 6 to 7 years from a contract that will be signed. At some point in that contract will be $100 million, right, and $500 million in total money. Like, that's just where we're at. That's where these contracts are headed.
Yeah, Victor Wembanyama is he's chomping at the bit. I can say that right now. I mean, he's going to get his first extension. If he makes all NBA teams, it's going to be absolutely insane. Now, let's go to the consumer side, because I think the consumer loses out in a lot of these things. What do you think about the transition from TNT to, NBC and Amazon, and then, the potential loss of Inside the NBA and having to deal with the ESPN pregame show, which I'm not a big fan of?
Well, there is some reporting now that Warner Brothers is coming back and saying, hey, we don't think we can match the NBC deal, but we think we can match the Amazon deal.
Okay.
And we'll match that. So I don't know that that's done yet. That's
right.
Probably going to get into a very ugly fight there. But if it does go that way, because it seems very clear, ESPN, ABC, Disney, that's going to have one package. NBC is going to have another one. Then if it does go the way of Amazon and TNT goes away, or they buy a single night by themselves kind of package or whatever. Yeah, I mean, Inside the NBA goes away. Now, it's funny, I've seen, because this is what people do, they have to overreact and say crazy stuff, is, well, they're going to lose a ton of fans. Nobody will watch. Well, that's not true.
No.
I don't know anybody who's watching solely because of Inside the NBA. I'll miss it. I mean, I'm an East Coast guy. I'm watching that show at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the season, and it goes down easy at night. I have a few laughs, and off to bed I go, at the end of a game watching night. So I'll miss it too, but I we'll see what happens. Maybe Amazon, maybe NBC says, hey, we'll bring everybody over. Ernie Johnson doesn't sound like he'll leave
right.
Turner, which, then they lose a lot of what makes the show special, and they'll lose some of that magic. But, yeah, it is going to be interesting to see where this goes. What I'm far more concerned about is Amazon has it. It needs to be made very easy where I pop into the Amazon app, and I can switch between 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games or whatever's going
on. Instead of backing out.
Exactly. I don't want to be closing apps, opening another thing, having my TV on and all this stuff. That's where you're going to start to lose me a little bit. Then you lose a lot of people who are like, I don't want to do this whole thing with this. People are saying, well, people did it for football. It's one game.
Right.
You're not switching between. There's not 5 football games on at the same time.
Right.
I know YouTube did it, but YouTube set it up so you can switch between a bunch of a bunch of games on YouTube with Sunday tickets. So that's a little bit of a different thing. So that's what has me more concerned than about who actually has it. I think for the most part, everybody wins. But yeah, I get it. It's another thing people are going to have to pay for, and they're probably not going to be very happy. But that's when you and I will get together, and we'll introduce some bundle package that has all of them together, and we'll call it cable, and we'll be billionaires.
Yeah, we're eventually just going to bundle all this together and call. I mean, it's ridiculous how much we like the amount of streaming apps I have to have and pay for. Just put it all in one place and let me pay for it, for God's sakes. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. It's out of control.
It's not that complicated. Last thing. The difference between Inside the NBA and the ESPN programming for NBA, how staggering is it to you? Like, it blows me away, the difference in entertainment value and really in the information. Like, how informative each show is. Inside the NBA wins in just about every category.
Yeah, one of the things that I always say about Inside the NBA is you don't watch that show for serious, in-depth basketball analysis.
Right.
You're really watching it to have some fun, right?
Sure.
To have some laughs. Yeah. It's going to be a good time. Like, that's what you want to have come out of Inside the NBA. So that's where I'm at with that one. So, I think what ESPN has done is they've tried to be like that, but ESPN has leaned into, for my opinion, and I think it's been worse than ever this year.
But you can't force funny,
fire off,
right? You can't force funny.
Correct. they're trying to be funny, but they're also just going to fire off 100 hot takes right. and try to get out there. Like, right. you know, and if I yell louder than you, then I am, you know, I must be right. And my thing is, like I go back to, I get it. I'm more sensitive to it than a lot of people because I'm a Celtics guy. But the way they've covered this Celtics playoff run to me has been ridiculous. They lost the game two to Miami and a game two to Cleveland, and both nights and the next day were, that's it, it's done, they're going to lose, yes. and they can't ever win,
right.
all this stuff. And then they come back with three straight blowouts and close out the series. And then game one with the Pacers, all it was the last 2 days was, you know, Boston actually lost that game. You know, I know it might feel different, but, you know, and that's where I'm like, what are we doing here? It's just, I think, you know, and then you're allowing Stephen A. Smith to get up there, and I get it. We all came with fandom, but he's up there, you know, screaming and yelling about the Knicks, and it's the point where it's like, there's other teams.
Yeah,
like, I know folks who are Pacers people that they're livid because they feel like, well, they mostly said is, oh, yeah, they have Tyrese Haliburton, and he's pretty good.
right.
That's about where they leave it. So, I think they've missed quite a bit.
Mike Breen was going out of his way to try to bring it back to the Pacers, and everybody was deflecting and going back to how bad the Knicks sucked. I thought the way they covered that series was disgusting. Like, I'm going to be completely – I thought it was gross. And then also you have Stephen A. Smith talking about the Pacers-Celtics series saying, I need some time off. I hope this is a quick series. And then they had, before freaking Game 7 of probably the best series we've seen in the playoffs of the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, we have a question about Stephen A. in a game to 100 if he'd score a point against LeBron James. Good Lord.
Yeah,
give me a break, man. Yeah. We need to be better.
I think they've tried to be funny, and I think where they would actually do themselves better is if they got a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. The average casual fan does not want to tune into the same stuff that I enjoy, which is in-depth play breakdowns
sure.
or really, you know, in-depth cap breakdowns and those kind of things. Most people want to see highlights. They want to be amused and that stuff. I mean, there's a reason those morning shows do so well and have when all I can't watch them because all it is a bunch of people yelling at each other. Where I'm like, I don't even know what point you're trying to make. You're just being loud, you know. And that's not how I want to start my day. I want to ease in a little bit here versus, you know, I turn on the TV and somebody's screaming at me, and it feels like all they talk about is the Cowboys, the Lakers, and that's kind of it. You know, it all kind of comes back around there, and I'm like, I don't even know what we're doing. It's the middle of the summertime, and you're yelling about this stuff. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't enjoy a lot of it, but I think the way they package the games is actually pretty good. I don't have a problem with the real announcing crew. I think the announcing crews are pretty solid. It's just that pre and post game that loses me a little bit.
100%. Well, Keith, you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, and we'll do this again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, sir. That is Keith Smith from Spot Track and Front Office Show, and he is on X at Keith Smith NBA. Now we need to go ahead and transition up out of here and get into the Blitz. We have some TNT sports programming to talk about, and we'll tell you who has been bet on the most as the first overall pick in the NBA draft. That's next.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Brad Carson, let's hop into it.
Well, we've been talking about TV deals for some time now, Gabe.
Yes, this is
it's TV
talk. A lot of money
talk.
Being thrown around.
It's that season where we talk a lot about sports business. It's the summer.
Yes.
So let's go to this TNT story. TNT subleasing college football playoff games from ESPN. TNT Sports will televise two first-round college football playoff games in 24-25 in this upcoming season, two quarterfinal games in 26-28. So your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are that it's going to be very, very strange to see college football on freaking TNT.
That is strange. It's an NBA sort of deal. Although I think it's going to help the network because they need sports.
Yeah, for God's sake.
Like, they got nothing.
Because now that they're not going to have the NBA, what are they going to have? Now they'll have college football. And I think those games will get watched.
Well,
they'll have some good TV ratings as opposed to even their NBA playoff games. But I wonder how they're going to go about this, who they're going to hire. I wonder if it'll just strictly be ESPN talents and they're going to have the ESPN broadcast itself.
Just have Charles Barkley in there.
That's
you know?
What we talked about it a little bit earlier.
I don't care if it's football.
With David Cobb.
I would put Barkley in there.
I'm fine with Charles Barkley because, hell, he barely knows anything about college basketball. I know he played it, but he still is in that studio show.
You know.
He's just a damn entertainer.
That's right.
He's an entertainer. But I wonder what they're going to go, how they're going to go about hiring talent for it and what the program is going to look like. But it's just going to be so weird tuning into TNT to go watch these games. I can't get over that fact on its own, like just by itself.
Yeah, you know, ESPN obviously does a pretty good job with college football, in my opinion.
So
I would think that you're utilizing their talent if you're subleasing the games, right? In other words, Greg McElroy, and I'm just using his you're getting their people and you're using their stuff.
Show.
And essentially, when you say subleasing, it's like you got the house, you're just trying to pay the power bill. You know, I mean, I don't know how that works.
But it is like we're talking about Warner Brothers Discovery and Disney, two separate companies.
I mean,
having ESPN, ABC, having their stuff on TNT's network and their talent and everything else, like, I that's just strange to
Listen,
me.
Listen, I'm just glad it's on a cable network because my wife and I are going through the process now because no disrespect to Comcast, loyal client, and they do a great job. I actually like their product, but that bill is like it's high. And I got to cut it. I'm thinking about cutting pretty soon.
Speaking of bills in general, I'm really curious what that bill looked like to sublease the college football playoff.
Oh, what's the number?
I wonder that has not been reported on. I bet it's really damn high.
So if it's how many games here? You've got two quarterfinal games, which is a lot, and 26, 28. And
so
this upcoming
that'll be six games plus, so it's a total of eight games.
Eight games, and then you got two quarterfinals. This is going to be first round. I don't even care what the round is. They're still valuable. What's a round worth? $100 million?
Well, let's just say for the sake of it.
I mean, this is a $500 million deal, right?
Crazy.
Is that a $500 million deal? Am I wrong?
I think you're ballparking in your assessment.
I mean, it's a multiple hundreds of six, nine figure type.
Just
rounds.
To sublease and throw it on your network using ESPN's talent and everything else.
Yeah, because you could probably make it. On a game, you're probably making up your money on an ad-by-ad basis if you're charging, $250,000 per ad.
They just need sports programming. And when they lost out, this tells me they're absolutely going to lose out on the NBA. But when they lost out on the NBA, they had to add some type of sports programming, whatever it is, and I think this works for them.
Well, what did I tell you? When this story came out about TNT losing the NBA, the first thing I said to you is, so what do they have? And you and I were looking at the schedule, and they're kind of screwed.
It's bare. I mean, they have hockey.
I mean, they don't even have shows my wife watches. And my wife watches some random stuff.
So do we really want to see Barkley? Do we want to see Barkley?
Yeah.
Get Barkley in there. Come on.
Even if Auburn's not in the college football playoff, I still want to see Barkley out there.
I saw a tweet out there that made me laugh where, it's Ernie Johnson. They're doing inside college football. And Ernie Johnson's like, what do they need to do? He's like, Charles Barkley says, they're getting beat up front. They need to get some of them big women from San Antonio.
Oh, my God. Bro.
That's what it would be. That's the type of entertainment you'd get.
This is the kind of analysis that I need.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. And I still can't get over how little Charles Barkley seemingly has to lose and how he's going balls to the walls every time we see him on air.
I do think, though, ESPN has the goods right now. If you look at what they're doing with McAfee, in fact, you could put McAfee on these games.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. Mm-hmm. So they've got the people. They just need to let them go a little bit.
Yeah. I little bit of sidebar. I don't want to go down this path too
much. Go ahead. I like sidebars. We're on the radio.
I have been a little bit frustrated by how many good people they've let go to have Stephen A. Smith and Pat McAfee run that damn network. There's a lot of good people and a lot of good entertainers and a lot of good sports talkers that have been thrown
away. Who do you miss the most?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't have anything off the top of my head. It's just there's so many guys. How many people have they let go in the past few years? It's ridiculous the amount of cuts they've made.
I think it speaks to the brand of ESPN, in my opinion, is still a very valuable brand.
Sure.
I think there's only a few over the years that I can think of that have bounced up. Dan Patrick being right at the top of the list, right?
Right.
The cat that went to the NFL Network, Rich Eisen, he's probably in there, right? Like that job is paid, done.
Right.
He's done well there. Kenny Mayne, of course, they let him go.
Yeah.
He was sort of a Sports Center icon.
He's a good one.
You know,
that's a good personality.
Well, I have a fondness for him as a UNLV Running Rebel, former backup quarterback for the Rebs.
Rock on.
So, but no, those are some of the ones that come to mind. I hear you. I think what they're doing is they're taking their money and they're going, we need the whale talent, and they're just giving them a ton of money.
They're doing what the... Like, I can't blame them at the end of the day. They're doing what the market is calling for.
Yep.
That's what you're supposed to do.
The other challenge, like radio, they are competing against podcasts and entities who didn't used to be in the mix that they're competing against to pay to come and do that. So you're paying when you pay for talent now, you have to kind of focus your efforts a little bit because now there's all like even FanDuel. Like I was stupid. Chandler Parsons has a damn FanDuel show, which I can't stand, but. That's an example. Like they're paying all these people to do this content. So
yeah,
the content business is interesting.
Now speaking of FanDuel, I think we have something that we're going to lead into here. Huh?
Let's go to Bronny and FanDuel. Bronny James has attracted. This is nuts. Yes, not LeBron James. Bronny James has entered the NBA draft. Of course, he's been in the combine and he's attracted 30% of the tickets to be selected first overall by the Hawks, the most of any player at FanDuel and at BetMGM. This is from the ESPN story. I talked about this earlier. He's grabbing 36.8% of the bet, well ahead of the betting favorite, of course, Alex Saar, who only has 14% of the wagers here, Gabe.
I am absolutely, I'm not surprised because I guess people just bet on what they hear in the news, right? But
I have a hypothesis on
Alex Saar's going first overall. He's minus 240 in all likelihood. I guess Zachary Risacher could potentially go. Bronny James is not going first overall, yet he's the most bet to go first overall. Do you know what his line is?
Is it like 20,000?
Plus 20,000.
Yeah. No, I believe that.
So, you know, if you bet $10 on that plus 20,000 for Bronny to go first overall, you know what you make?
What?
$0, because he's not going first overall. You're just going to lose $10.
Did you say there's no chance? Are you saying there's no chance?
0% chance.
What about second?
Like, you know how people say, well, it's a less than zero, or it's a more than zero, more than zero, you know, percent chance that he does go. No, this is zero. This is 0.000. There's no 0.1 in there. He is not going there. He is going to lose all these people... money. That's what he's going to do.
They're doing it because it's like a lottery ticket.
It's a terrible lottery ticket.
It might be better than the lottery.
Well, am I sure?
Because there's only how many picks?
How much are we? How much
60
is that?
Picks?
That's not saying much, Brad.
Well,
that's not saying much.
They're also betting that somebody would make the ridiculous idea of getting LeBron James. And let's not even call it the first overall pick, because I actually read the story too, and it also suggests that this guy could be in the first round. I didn't see that happening.
Late first round, I guess.
Do you think he'll be in the first round?
I don't know. I don't think he should.
I think
he'll
be in the first round because he's Bronny James.
I think he'll be somewhere in the second.
I was listening to Jason talk about this today, and we had this exact same conversation. And I agree with you on the first pick, but I think people are just taking a Hail Mary on it. Whatever. He's not going to be picked first, likely.
Hey, did you throw a little scratch down on it?
No.
We know you're not a great sports gambler.
I'm terrible. That tells you something I would do is put $10 on the off chance Hail Mary that Atlanta decides that we're going to get LeBron James by getting his son first in the draft.
Right.
I can see why consumers do it, though, which is different than your take. And here's why. Consumers do things like this because of the money that they could potentially win. They don't even look at the bet sometimes. They look at the money they could get sometimes, right? Does that make sense?
No, they look for the value.
You see
like
plus 20,000.
I'm putting up my air quotes right now. The value in plus 20,000. There's no value in that, though. Let's be honest.
What about in the first round?
In the first round? We'll see.
Is there a first round value?
I bet that line is substantially lower, and it's probably more reflective.
So what will you... let me do this, then. Maybe I'll take some opportunity here. On the totally unlikely chance he gets picked first... What can I get from you in exchange for that? Like, is there some special gift I could get if that were to happen? Like, because you said there's no chance.
Well, then what about the other side? What if he doesn't go? Like, is this going to be a two-way type of bet? Two-way
no, this
street
would be
here?
A one-way because you said like there's
that.
No chance.
I don't like one-way.
Oh, so there's a chance then.
I don't know. I don't like one-way bets either way. Like,
Felt very one-way streety when you're like, there's no chance.
So it's like, I stand to gain nothing, but if he does somehow go first overall, I have to give you something.
That's
I don't
why
like
people
that
are,
bet.
But see, that's why people are putting $10 on it right there because there's this like, you know,
see, but you also hear me like, I have deductive
reasoning. You're hedging.
I have deductive reasoning as opposed to these people that are betting Bronny James
fair.
First overall.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not just going to get into a bet that I stand to win nothing in.
Well,
why would
people
I do
it
that?
All the time.
What do you want? Okay, if Bronny goes first overall, what do you want from me?
I don't know. There's nothing I need from you besides stellar radio, which we get every day already.
A lunch? You want a lunch? If
yeah,
Bronny
I'll take a lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get a lunch.
All right. Okay, well, you're not going to be getting a lunch.
How about to Folks
then,
Folly? Can I pick Folks
this?
Folly?
How about this? Just to
Folks
reflect,
Folly lunch from you.
To reflect the odds.
No, I want a
sure,
nice lunch.
Folks Folly lunch. That's right. Fair. Or Butcher Shop, whatever.
Yeah, a beautiful place.
And if he doesn't go first overall, you get me something out of the vending machine.
Okay, I'll do that.
See, that's reflective
that
of the odds. Right? That's reflective
hey,
of what
we're
by the
way, we
at.
Just got a new vending machine here at the
oh,
ballpark.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Brand new. They hauled it in the other day, so I think it works.
I thought we were still waiting for delivery.
No, I think they got it here. I haven't actually checked. I just saw them bring it in, so maybe they just stole something. But maybe they took the other one out.
It's always amazing.
I'll get you something out of Ron Olson's bag of tricks.
The station was created in, what, the early 2000s? Right?
Yep.
In the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we have 90s vending machines until
now. It is pathetic.
I don't know how that's crazy to me.
The interesting thing is if you wobble it far enough over, you can get yourself a little free snack. Yeah.
So you're going to miss that. You're going to miss punching
that.
The side of that thing and getting those Gardenos.
Unplugging it.
The snack mix to fall out. Yeah.
Unplugging it, plug it in. Listen, I let's talk about Bronny for a second before we get out of the blitz here. And the final thing. I have decided he has an opportunity to probably be a professional basketball player. And a year ago, if you would have said that, I thought, well, he just had coming off a heart situation, and he wasn't quite going that direction. And I think I flipped on that.
I always have thought he has a chance. I still think he needs more seasoning. But one thing I do appreciate about Bronny is when they asked him like his comparisons in the NBA, he's not saying, you know.
Right.
He's not going up there and saying, you know, I think I'm Tyrese Halliburton. I think he's like, I think I'm Davion Mitchell or, you know, Derek White.
Right.
Like he's giving those type of
these
comparisons.
Role players.
A defensive guy, defensive guys who can, you know, potentially shoot a three.
Yeah.
Like that's what he views himself as. He doesn't view himself as some superstar. And I think that is a good mindset to have to understand your role within a system in the NBA going into the NBA.
I agree. What's fascinating is I would have projected David Jones ahead of Bronny, a kid like that. Now, when you say he's only 6'3", Bronny's 6'1", but he's got a vertical leap that's like, he's got like a 38-inch vert.
No, it's
you
like
know?
40.
It's 40. It's ridiculous.
His max vert was 40
like,
and a half,
stupid
I believe.
Vertical. Like, he's an athlete, but... if you would have told me, I would have said David had a better chance at this point, and that's just not true.
Well, but also, let's take into account age, right?
Bronny's 20. What, 20 and versus 24, 23?
Yeah.
Is David Jones 23, 24, I think?
23. He's
good, so they want these young kids, man.
They do. They want some leeway to develop.
Right.
They want a not finished product so they can finish that product. Whereas, like, David Jones kind of who he is.
That's fair.
Yeah. So we'll see.
To our
but
benefit.
I can tell you. He's not going to go first overall, but on the off chance he does, Folks Folly lunch.
Here we go.
And if he doesn't, you do owe me some snack
some
mix out of the vending machine. Let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show. We'll wrap up this week and send you off to your memorial.
Now it's the Rewind on 92.9. What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Mavericks visiting the Timberwolves. Mavericks have the 1-0 lead. It'll be on TNT 7:30. Now, I know what I'm going to pick. Timberwolves are -6. I'm going with the Timberwolves. I think they need to blow through it and prove some power, be physical, get back after the Mavs. Don't lose the damn points in the paint battle, 62-38. I think they'll have a good chance to do that tonight. They'll make some adjustments. But, you know, I know it's a Jason and John thing, but we do have the man, the myth, the legend, Brad Carson, and we have some fade Brad picks too.
Well, I'm the good picker when it comes to picking losers. So do the opposite is the way this works usually. But I'm rolling with the Mavericks, and earlier the line was at 5.5. I'm going with Mavs +5.5.
Okay.
The teaser tonight, Luka over 29.5.
Okay. All right. Let's see it. He had a 33-point performance.
All right.
He's had game on, game off. I'm curious about that one.
The percentage rate, hit rate, if you're fading these, by the way, is at 59.5% right now.
And by the way, you do the plus 5.5. Like, you think that the Mavs are just going to, like, I mean, they're going to roll it out and do a similar thing? Do you think they win the game, or do you think they just cover? That's the point I'm trying to get at.
I think the Timberwolves could win the game. And it doesn't matter what I think. I think it'll be within the margin.
Okay. Rock on.
Does that make sense? So that makes you feel a little better, I hope.
I hear you. I hear you.
Okay, there you go.
Fast forward.
No Monday shows. Enjoy your dang Memorial Day weekend. Get some hot dogs on the grill.
But keep on 92.9 because we'll have all the NBA games for the next 3 days.
There you go. That's a PD. Hard at work.
Don't turn off the radio station.
PD hard at work right there.
The transmitter, as Gabe alluded to, is not shutting off.
But enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today. Thanks to Keith Smith, David Cobb, and Kerry Cobb for their contributions to the show. We'll meet back here at the same time on Tuesday. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead and pass you off to Western Conference Finals Game 2 coverage right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. For Brad, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Send you off to your Memorial
Day. Now it's the Rewind on 92.9. What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Mavericks visiting the Timberwolves. Mavericks have the 1-0 lead. It'll be on TNT 7:30. Now, I know what I'm going to pick. Timberwolves are -6. I'm going with the Timberwolves. I think they need to blow through it and prove some power, be physical, get back after the Mavs. Don't lose the damn points in the paint battle, 62-38. I think they'll have a good chance to do that tonight. They'll make some adjustments. But, I know it's a Jason and John thing, but we do have the man, the myth, the legend, Brad Carson, and we have some fade Brad picks too.
Well, I'm the good picker when it comes to picking losers. So do the opposite is the way this works usually. But I'm rolling with the Mavericks, and earlier the line was at 5.5. I'm going with Mavs plus 5.5.
Okay.
The teaser tonight, Luka over 29.5.
Okay. All right. Let's see it. He had a 33-point performance.
All right.
He's had game on, game off. I'm curious about that one.
The percentage rate, hit rate, if you're fading these, by the way, is at 59.5% right now.
And by the way, you do the plus 5.5. Like, you think that the Mavs are just going to, like, I mean, they're going to roll it out and do a similar thing? Do you think they win the game, or do you think they just cover? That's the point I'm trying to get at.
I think the Timberwolves could win the game. And it doesn't matter what I think. I think it'll be within the margin.
Okay. Rock on.
Does that make sense? So that makes you feel a little better, I hope.
I hear you.
Okay, there you go.
Fast forward.
No Monday shows. Enjoy your dang Memorial Day weekend. Get some hot dogs on the grill.
But keep on 92.9 because we'll have all the NBA games for the next 3 days.
There you go. That's a PD. Don't, hard at work.
Don't turn off the radio station.
PD hard at work right there.
The transmitter, as Gabe alluded to, is not shutting off.
But enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today. Thanks to Keith Smith, David Cobb, and Kerry Cobb for their contributions to the show. We'll meet back here at the same time on Tuesday. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead and pass you off to Western Conference Finals Game 2 coverage right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. For Brad, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.